Hello, friends. This is Pastor Harley Wheeler with the Broadway Global Methodist Church, and I'm glad to have you join me for this last installment of our Friends for Christmas podcast for Christmas 2023, where I've been imagining having certain people, historical figures, over for Christmas and to spend it with them and imagine what that might be like and what they in their thinking and doing have been helpful in pointing us to the truth of Christ at Christmas, to the salvation of Christ upon the cross, and the great hope that God has given to the world in the Christ child. I am just delighted to introduce to you G.K. Chesterton. He lived in England. He was active as a journalist and as an author through World War I and before. And also passed away in the 30s, just understanding that there was coming a time when another war with Germany would come. He found himself as far as he could and as a journalist on the right side of the issues, looking for the best of the small and humble and highly suspicious of the strong and proud and well-resourced. His writing was broad, both comedies, detective fiction. The Father Brown detective stories were from his pen, and also week by week comment in the London Daily News, and including Christmas comment when the year came around to that time of year. He had a long and wonderful life, and to have him over for Christmas would, in one case, be somebody who was ready to have the celebration, to play silly games and to have a feast. He certainly did like to feast. He was noted for being a large man and a tall man and fond of his cookies and his treats. And he would encourage everyone around to eat and drink and be merry. And he had this to say. It was in his work on Charles Dickens. In the chapter Dickens and Christmas, he talks about the comfort we have at Christmas. See, comfort, especially this vision of Christmas comfort, is the reverse of some material thing. It's far more poetical than the gardens of the Roman poets. It is far more artistic than the Palace of Art. That's a reference to Tennyson. It is more artistic because it's based on a contrast between the fire and the wine within the house and the winter and the roaring rains without. It is far more poetical because there is in it a note of defense, almost of war, a note of being besieged by the snow and hail, of making merry in the belly of a fort. The man who said that the Englishman's house is his castle said much more than he meant. The Englishman thinks of his house as something fortified and provisioned, and his very surliness is at its root romantic. And this sense would naturally be strongest in wild winter nights, when the lowered gates and the lifted drawbridge do not merely bar people out, but bar people in. The Englishman's house is most sacred not merely when the king cannot enter it, but when the Englishman cannot get out of it. So G.K. Chesterton would be delighted to be snowed in with you at your house. Even if you were not friends before, he would say, here is a great opportunity to meet another living soul that God has made. He often said one of the solutions for our social problems is if we could all get snowed up on a street together and would have to actually deal with our neighbors and talk to them. G.K. Chesterton wrote works on Christian religion. One is called The Everlasting Man, and the other one called Orthodoxy, and then many other smaller pieces. And they bring to light the wonder and the reality of what it means that God has entered the world in Jesus Christ. That this world is a world of delights, even with all the darkness that it contains. That we should be constantly amazed at the love and the grace of God just for having us to exist. And he said so many wonderful things. I just hope that one day you will pick up some of his work and read it and get a hold of me and I can give you a recommendation. But I'm going to read from The Everlasting Man, the chapter being on the man called Christ and the subsection, The God in the Cave, talking about the stable being actually a cave just even underground. And he writes, a mass of legend and literature which increases and will never end has repeated and rung the changes on that single paradox that the hands that made the sun and the stars were far too small to reach the huge heads of the cattle. Upon this paradox, We might almost say upon this jest, all the literature of our faith is founded. It is at least like a jest in this, that is something which the scientific critic cannot see. He laboriously explains the difficulty which we have always defiantly and almost derisively exaggerated, and mildly condemns as improbable something that we have almost madly exalted as incredible, as something that would be much too good to be true, except that it is true. Any agnostic or atheist whose childhood has known a real Christmas has ever afterward, whether he likes it or not, an association in his mind between two ideas that most of mankind regard as remote from each other, the idea of a baby and the idea of unknown strength that sustains the stars. His instincts and imagination can still connect them, when his reason can no longer see the connection. For him, there will always be some savor of religion about the mere picture of a mother and a baby, some hint of mercy and softening about the mere mention of the dreadful name of God. But the two ideas are not necessarily or naturally combined. They would not be necessarily combined for an ancient Greek or a Chinaman, even for Aristotle or Confucius. It's no more inevitable to connect God with an infant than to connect gravitation with a kitten. It has been created in our minds by Christmas because we are Christians, because we are psychological Christians, even when we are not theological ones. In other words, this combination of ideas has emphatically, in a much disputed phrase, altered human nature. There is really a difference between a man who knows it and the man who does not. His words go on. He points you to the truth of Christ. He points you to the great love of God and the great joy it is to know God and his care. And I just write to you, because I read to you just now, because I said that he also was a poet, and he published a great amount of poetry that I enjoy reading. And this one is called The House of Christmas. There fared a mother driven forth, out of an inn to roam, in the place where she was homeless. All men are at home. The crazy stable close at hand, with shaking timber and shifting sand, grew a stronger thing to abide and stand than the square stones of Rome. For men are homesick in their homes, and strangers under the sun, and they lay their heads in a foreign land, where whenever the day is done. Here we have battle and blazing eyes, and chance and honor and high surprise, but our homes are under miraculous skies, where the Yule tale was begun. A child in a foul stable, where beasts feed and foam, only where he was homeless are you and I at home. We have hands that fashion and heads that know, but our hearts we lost how long ago? In a place no chart nor ship can show, under the sky's dome. This world is wild as an old wives' tale, and strange the plain things are. The earth is enough, and the air is enough, for our wonder and our war. But our rest is as far as the firedrake swings, and our peace is put in impossible things, where clashed and thundered unthinkable wings round an incredible star. To an open house in the evening, whom shall men come? To an older place than Eden, and a taller town than Rome. To the end of the way of the wandering star, to the things that cannot be and that are, to the place where God was homeless, and all men are at home. I'd like to close this podcast reading from Matthew chapter 2. G.K. Chesterton would enjoy a reading of the wise man, recognizing that it's just the sort of thing one can put in a play, in a pageant. And he felt that these things, where we can look at the truth in a form of a story, with the pageantry, with the costumes, with the camels if you can get them, appealed to a sense that we can enter into this story and realize this is that one story that everyone hopes might be true, and it is. And so in Matthew chapter 2 it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him.' And Herod the king heard this, and he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, G.K. Chesterton made an insightful comment. He said, "There are two immediate commentaries on the birth of Christ. Wise men say, we must worship him. And Herod says, he'll have to go. I'll have to kill him." G.K. Chesterton, having seen World War I and the troubles and the turmoils of Europe and England in his day, knew of the opposition and felt that part of the Christian work was to be that warrior, to be that one opposing the work of Satan and setting down the designs and the attempts of evil men and upholding the flag of this world, to know that God has made it, that God loves us, that he's entered into this world and is working for its salvation. He put his trust and his faith in Christ, as should you. And definitely, he would understand that wise men would come, having achieved every kind of success in their homes, but they're still homeless and still seeking. And he would thank God that it's not about the journey. He was always quick to point that out. But his journey has a destination, which is Christ. May that be true of you and true of all of us. May we keep Christmas well, and may we honor Christ in our hearts. Amen.